from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. And to me personally, that was one of the most amazing things that, as I've been going through this story, has touched my heart. And we're going to see today how the veil, how it was torn, will impact us today. So, Father, we just commit this service to you. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that you made for us on that day. And I pray, Lord, as I go through the message, that we would have a deeper and greater understanding of just how much you loved us. And we thank you for your word today in your precious name. Amen. Amen. And I guess you could say that Good Friday was probably the most pivotal day, pivotal event in history, actually, that day that Jesus died on the cross. And as we go in a moment and look closely in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 27, we're going to see some really remarkable events that happened when Jesus died. Maybe things we haven't thought of before. These events that happened, they could have been seen as quite a common thing back in the day, but they have supernatural effects. And while we may not have taken particular notice of these things, they all have great and deep meanings. So let's have a look at Matthew 27, verses 45 to 54. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought that he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain or the veil in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened, and they said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And if you've been around church for any length of time, you would understand the amazing importance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever considered the weight of what happened that day, but there were some remarkable and supernatural events that took place. And we can all understand the weight of things. When things worry us and burden us, we seem to carry a weight, but I don't think we will ever know the weight that he carried that day. Now, crucifixion was not an uncommon thing in those days, and it had been estimated that there were possibly 30,000 men that had been crucified up to that point. So Jesus' death by crucifixion was a common thing in the day, but we know that Jesus was certainly not common. He was no ordinary man, and though his death seemed ordinary by crucifixion, what happened around his death was extraordinary. The first remarkable thing was that in verse 45, darkness fell. It was remarkable because it was broad daylight. It was noon. You know, we have every so often an eclipse of the sun. And according to Google says, if you just stay home and wait for the path of totality to cover your house, on average in the northern hemisphere, you'll have to wait 350 years between occurrences. And if you're in the southern hemisphere, it's once in about every 450 years. That's the totality of a eclipse. So you could say, well, it was a common thing. But the timing of that darkness at that very moment when Jesus died and darkness covered the earth, I don't think so. It was like a prophetic picture of darkness, because darkness in the Bible speaks of judgment. And in that moment, God judged his own son for our sin so that you and I don't have to be judged. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, I love this, it says, "For our sake he made himself to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Think about that for a moment. God literally turned Jesus, who was God himself, into judgment by taking on all of our sin upon the cross. God looked at Jesus, who was holy, like he'd committed our sins, and he turned away. He couldn't look at him because God cannot look at sin. And it was our sin that he bore that day. And now, because of that, we don't have to be judged for our sin, because he took our punishment on the cross. And now he just looks at us like we are righteous. Just like last week when Steve got Christopher to dress up in that white suit, and we couldn't remember what he was actually wearing before he put that white suit on. And that's just like our sin. We're now covered in Jesus' righteousness, and underneath, he's forgotten about all of the things that we've ever done. Isn't that good news? And that's how he sees us. He looks at us as if we've committed no sin, because at Calvary, darkness covered the whole earth. And you know, it was prophetic, because it was just like that plague in Egypt when darkness covered there, and it preceded the death of the firstborn. So darkness here has the same meaning. It preceded the death of God's firstborn, and in that moment, something happened in that dark moment. Actually, the brightest moment it is for us, because in eternity our lives were changed forever. The next thing that happened was that the earth shook. Now, earthquakes happen, don't they? But at the same time, let's have a look what verse 51 says. The earth shook and the rocks split apart. And verse 54 says, the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that happened. Imagine it. It's pitch black. It's in the day, but it's pitch black, and the earth is shaking and the rocks are splitting apart. That's pretty scary. You know, again, earthquakes were not an uncommon thing, but to think of everything happening at the same time in complete darkness, I don't think so. Not coincidence. And this to me speaks that creation was groaning. The earth was reacting to this. And God the Son, who was dying on the cross, nature was literally responding. Darkness covered the earth and the earth began to shake. And I know that sometimes darkness covers our lives, and our worlds also shake at times when we really wish they wouldn't. But this event, when Jesus died, was darker than any darkness that we will ever go through. And there was more shaking in that back then than we will ever experience. And I think that's a piece to know, that we don't have to carry that anymore. Because God himself took on the worst darkness and the most shaking so that we can live through our storms and we can live through our challenges. And I don't know what you're going through today, but today, Good Friday, represents the day when light broke through. And today represents the day where God, who stills the storms, can calm the shaking that is happening in our world, because he died for that. And even though what you're going through may feel harsh and heavy, dark or depressing, but you know that that day that Jesus died, it was darker and it was heavier. Whatever your darkness, his name is more powerful. Whatever is breaking in you, whatever is shaking around you, His name is more powerful. And of course, that is the name of Jesus. And Good Friday happened, the earth groaned, creation shook, and the world reacted. Even nature reacted, because it was no ordinary day. It wasn't an ordinary death. It wasn't an ordinary crucifixion. God the Son became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. We're going to listen to some more music, some more worship. It was torn. And I love that. Verse 51, at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and rocks split apart. And that veil that tore, it was so prophetic because it means that whatever has stopped you in the past or is stopping you now from coming close to God, it's not there anymore because the veil has been torn. And at that very moment, imagine it, darkness covers the earth. The earthquake happens and then the veil tore from top to bottom, symbolizing the removal of the barrier between humanity and God through Jesus' sacrifice. It opened up access to God's presence for all people. And no longer do we need to go through a mediator. We now have direct access ourselves. Excuse me, so you can come just as you are, directly to Jesus. No circumstance, no challenge, nothing, not even death, can separate us because God has torn the veil from top to bottom. And so whatever you think is the reason that you can't get close to God, maybe you sin or your pain. And this is the whole idea of this weekend, that it's now torn. There is no longer any reason or excuse to not come to Jesus. And no longer did God require one man to get behind an altar. He said, no, I've torn the veil. The entire barrier has been separated from me and you can come. And that symbolizes direct access to God for all believers through Christ's atoning work on the cross. And secondly, the veil marks the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant. So the elaborate rituals that we've been talking about in Galatians, the sacrifices, the religious rules, the high priest's mediator role, they're now all gone and are replaced by Christ's once and for all sacrifice. That's it. The rules, the laws, the religious stuff, it's gone. It's all gone. Jesus is enough, and he proved that on the cross. And today, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to tell you that the veil has been torn, and you can go straight to Jesus yourself. Hebrews 14 confirms that, where it says, let us come boldly. You can go boldly to the throne. I love that. Of our gracious God. This week, you know, I've wanted to run away for moments because I've felt heavy and I've felt darkness and I've felt all this anxiety and I've wanted to run, but I wanted to run straight to Jesus. And I'm glad that I've learnt that because he is my refuge and my strength and he covers me with his wings. And he says, so come boldly to the throne of our gracious God and there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace. Oh my goodness, grace to help us when we most need it. That's what we need to do. Don't run away. Run to him boldly. And we will find his mercy and his grace in time of need. And that's the power that Good Friday represents. Whatever you think is keeping you from him, it's not there. The veil has been torn. You might think you're not good enough. Not true. He died for that already. It's done. It's finished. Because he knew you weren't good enough, and that's why he did that for us. That's why he took his sin upon himself, because now we are the righteousness of God through Christ. And so you can come into the presence of God right where you are, come literally straight in and call to him for help, for his mercy, or for whatever you need. Whatever it is, he is real and he is there waiting. Let's again look at a beautiful song at the cross. The way has been made for us. There's no excuse anymore. And because the veil has been torn, if you need deliverance, it can happen at any time, right now. If you need breakthrough for your family, and we probably all need one of those, it can happen right now. Because there is no longer a barrier between you and God. You don't have to go to a priest or any other person to get to God. Just go yourself. And God's presence is here right now. And he can lift those things off you right now because he tore the veil. It was not a small veil or a thin veil. It was incredibly strong. It was a barrier that rendered completely. Aren't you grateful that God took on darkness so that we don't have to walk in the dark anymore? And that his death shook the earth so that he could calm the storm in our world. The veil was torn so we could run without shame and without fear. That's Good Friday. And maybe the most remarkable thing is this. People were raised up. Look at this, Matthew 27, 52, 53. And the tombs opened, and the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. So there wasn't just one resurrection, but a mass resurrection. I don't think we've thought a lot about that before. It was like a grave that held every saint that day. At the death of God himself, life came into them and they were released from their grave. And every occupant started walking through the city. The Bible says they appeared to many. And, you know, that was the message that Jesus was alive that they were giving. And that was the reason that the early church was birthed with such power, resurrection power, which is what we also have in us. And we carry that. We have resurrection life within us. And, you know, there may be some dead things in our lives. But Jesus died so that those things could come alive. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe you've lost peace and you're anxious. Maybe you've lost your faith because of things that have happened, or even just your confidence. Well, I pray today that let Jesus bring those things that are dead in your life, resurrect them and bring them to life again. Even the gifts that he's given to you, because the Bible says he's given every single person a gift, not for yourself, but for the body of Christ. Maybe your gift is dormant. Well, let there be life brought to you today. And we were all once dead in our sin, weren't we? But today we are alive. We have Jesus living in us. And we have a story. And we have a testimony today because we have something to say. We were once dead, but now we are alive because Jesus died and rose. And that's why we all have a story. We're going to have two more songs and then we're going to share communion in a moment. Thanks, Jean.
Was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin.
In John 8:12, he says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have light that leads to life. Imagine having the light in you so much that no matter what happens in your future, you don't have to walk in darkness and it doesn't stand a chance to overpower you. Jesus can change everything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin upon yourself and for paying the price for my freedom. Thank you that you're our Lord and our Saviour, and you help us, Lord, to follow your path for our lives. Let your light shine brightly in all our lives and displace all darkness. Jesus, we thank you for Calvary, and I pray that you move amongst the hearts of your people. Where there is darkness, let light come in. Where there is shaking happening, bring peace to those storms. And I pray, Lord, that people would run to you, that they would boldly run to you this year like they've never run to you before. And there would be many testimonies of what you do, and you will change lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to take communion, and I just want to read this first. I've read it before, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You know, no one will ever be more unworthy than Jesus was. He was not worthy of death. It was not worthy of him because he never sinned. He lived a spotless life. He was the spotless Son of God, sinless, blameless, and holy. And yet he willingly embraced all that and he gave up his life so that others, that's us, may have eternal life. He died a cruel death for our sake, for our sin and our stained lives. And when he spoke these words in John 15, he was actually talking to his friends, the disciples, who were far from perfect, a hot-headed fisherman, a sceptical doubter, a political zealot, two brothers that had once asked Jesus to send fire down on a whole town, tax collector. And that was just the ones that were with him. The ones outside, the prostitutes, the diseased, the unclean, the sinners. And then there was me and you. There was no greater love that he laid down his life for everyone, that we might know deep in our hearts that we're not rejected, we're not forgotten or abandoned, but known and embraced. There is no greater love that has Jesus for you, and he proved it on the cross. And let us rest in that truth. So I'm going to invite you to take your bread and your wine whenever you like. Have a moment. Let these next couple of songs minister to you and just take it whenever you want. And if you're bold, or if you need to, if you're carrying something today, darkness or just anxiety, I'm going to kneel here and I'm going to take mine. And if anyone would like to join me, you don't have to say anything. We're not going to pray for you. Just come and share it at the front or be free to stay where you are. That's absolutely fine. And just as we take it whenever you're ready, and then you can leave after that whenever you're ready. And I'm going to keep playing some music just until people are gone. And don't forget, we're going to be here on Sunday as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. So thank you for coming. And it's just one of those days where we're not going to have coffee today. We're just going to go home, and I pray that you just remember so strongly in your heart what God has done for you and now who you are because of that. So thank you.